This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right, I don't care what you say. I'm calling it and until you come up with a better name, David Dennis. I mean, is the point is we do sports on Tuesday and Thursday. And on Wednesday, we hit you with that bonus that is like sports adjacent or not sports at all. So that's the name, unless you got a better one.
That works, because usually when I try to make a point, people say and. So that makes sense.
All right, well, what's the point you want to make for us this week?
I want to talk about the big sports elephant in the room that everybody's been talking about. It's Ime Udoka, mm-hmm. and how we have gravely lost the plot here with Ime and how we've responded to the situation. So obviously, as you know, Ime is involved in some sort of relationship in the team and the Celtics.
To cut you off, but listening to anybody talk about the Ime Udoka, like set it up. I've been on a bunch of shows, and none of us really know how to set it up because we don't have enough information. So for those who don't know, he's the head coach, or was, I guess technically still is the head coach.
Technically still the head coach.
The Celtics. Yeah. He got suspended for a year and also maybe forever because of inner office. This is the part where it gets funky, because some people call it like an inner office romance, and there's also like allegations of harassment. The press conference that we watched last week from the leadership of the Celtics didn't really make anything better or clearer. And from the start of this situation, people have been taking sides and hazarding opinions without complete information. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so that happened, and obviously there is a racial component of Ime Udoka as a black man in Boston being reprimanded for something that allegedly a lot of people do, right? But what was troubling about it was that as that was happening, there was this like cavalcade of people on the internet who were just like, what about Brett Favre? Like, y'all are talking about this, and you're not talking about Brett Favre. And that really was that's where we lost the plot here, because first of all, we did talk about Brett Favre. I talked about Brett Favre. We did 20 minutes on Brett Favre and Debatable. As you know, I'm from Jackson. I'm from Mississippi. Brett Favre thing is like very near and dear to my heart and very upset about it. And we get more information about the fact that he is asked and allegedly took millions of dollars that went to poor black, that should have gone to poor black people in Mississippi to build a freaking volleyball stadium for his daughter at USM. It's extremely upsetting. But this became a like comparing two things that had nothing to do with each other. And it was trying to make
whataboutism is always kind of frustrating, and we always call it out when we see it. And like, what about Chicago?
about police
violence. And so it's not fun to see people using it in this situation. The two things can go on at the same time, and we can be upset and outraged and address both of them. But I find that divide interesting. And then there also feels like, I don't want to say a man-woman divide, because it's not, I mean, there's plenty of men on what I would consider the prudent side of the Ime Udoka conversation, but there's like a defense for Ime Udoka the motivation for the defense seems to be race, which like obviously I understand where that is. And then there's like a fury for him from like the same demographic of people that's like, how dare you do this to Black Queen Nia Long, which like also is like annoying to me. I don't know. I'm sorry. I bring you on to hear your opinions, but you struck a chord with me on this one.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with this thing is that it's all sort of gaslighting. It's all pretend, because really what is at the bottom of this is like faux black unity over Ime Udoka, but it's really about, I want police to treat black people like police treat white people, right? Like, that is one way of trying to think about things, right? A lot of these dudes who are saying this, what about Brett Favre thing, really want, they don't want like to be treated with the same justice that white, they want to be able to do the same illegal, terrible, right. horrifying crap that white men get to do. Right. And it's like,
they don't want to be treated with the same justice. They want to be like afforded the same level of injustice that.
Right.
That
exactly.
People, some people with power have.
We saw the same thing with when they were comparing Bill Cosby to Kavanaugh. It's like, well, Kavanaugh could be in the Supreme Court. Well, what about Bill? Like, how about we try not to be either of these dudes? You know, like, that's like, why don't we do that? And the Brett Favre thing was just sort of the newest avatar for that. It was like, y'all are focused on Ime, like Ime Udoka from all reports did something wrong, right? He did something wrong that should not be done. So like, why are we comparing him to this other, like, I would love for there to be 24/7 coverage of Brett Favre, because this is something that is very, that I care about extremely, you know, but I also understand that Brett Favre is retired, that Michael Vick was a quarterback, active quarterback, one of the biggest stars in the world, and that Ime Udoka is a current coach. Like, there are actual current sports ramifications for these things that happen that are putting them at the front of all the shows. Whereas, you know, as a personal person, I want to talk about Brett Favre at all times, but as a person who understands how this works, yeah. it's just not going to work out that way.
But the
and people are covering Brett Favre. The Brett Favre is all over the place. It is all ESPN did a thing on Brett, like more allegations or more evidence and text came out yesterday or Sunday that said that Brett Favre asked for prison industrial complex workers to help build this stuff. He explicitly said, "Can we get people in jail to do this?" And ESPN covered it. And the what about Brett Favre people were absolutely silent about it.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part is that it's used as a smoke screen to try to distract mm-hmm. you from what's going on. And I imagine you experienced the same like online reaction that I do, like for Deshaun Watson, like speaking about Deshaun Watson thing, I get more angry black men avatars in my mentions, like, how you gonna bring this brother down and like this, that, and the other, and like, you ain't talk about this when there was this white person accused of it. And it's a terrible position to be put in, where you feel like, or people want you to feel like, it's your obligation to defend someone who has put themselves in a bad situation. Like, I understand the impulse, like I get it, right. I understand the impulse to when you come from a group that has been perpetually like disadvantaged, you have an impulse to defend anyone from that group. But I also feel like there's like accountability. We have to hold people accountable. And it's a very bad place to be in when you're defending someone and you don't know, like back to Ime Udoka, you're defending someone from something that you don't know what they're being accused of. And that's the real weird part, is people caping like, get them. Like, no, let's deal with this right here. It's just a distraction technique. So I do find myself having like my identity guide me in some mm-hmm. of the positions that I take. It's impossible not to. Like, I think we all do. However, like, my identity is, I like it to be of someone who is progressive minded when it comes to issues of safety, which is what some of these are about for women. And you don't have to have daughters or be a son of a mother or a husband of a wife or any of those things to recognize that stuff is messed up. So I don't know, is there anything else on this topic that you wanted to hit?
Well two things, which, you know, I don't know how close we're flying to the sun here, but a lot of these dudes who were like, protect our queen, Nia Long, were also like, Malika Andrews has to go, which was quite interesting to see on Friday and over the weekend, that a lot of these people who proclaim to be defending black folks were very quick to attack a black woman who was trying to speak up for her case. And, you know, I think about Fannie Lou Hamer, who, you know, we're not free to, all of us are free. And like, we're thinking about Deshaun Watson, Ime Udoka, and things like that. But like, if there's something that that's going to harm women, like, black women are going to be most harmed by it. Like, even if these things happen to, like, if Kavanaugh and all these folks are doing these things to white women and they get away with it, allegedly, whatever, they get away with it allegedly, then imagine what's happening to black women at the same time. You know, like, we could talk about what happens in secret. with these celebrities, what Bill Cosby was doing. But we could also acknowledge that R. Kelly had public, like, prisons for Black women at the same time, was touring. You know, like, it's going to happen worse to them. So I do feel the identity to and the need to sort of defend and be there for our brothers and Black men, but also understand that, like, if things are going to happen to women, they're going to happen to Black women 10 times worse.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. That wasn't fun. You normally got some jokes or something for me, but this topic does not make room for those type of jokes. But maybe next week we'll do a fun topic.
I'll work on my material. But I will say that people need to buy my book. The Movement Made Us, about my dad. I was told I didn't plug my book well enough last time. I was chastised.
I should have brought that up myself, because I saw an interview about your book. And while I did buy it, because, like, I try to support people, I did not actually read it. And the interview was like, oh, man, I might have to read this joint. So I broke it out from my pile of books that I buy from friends but don't actually read. And I'm gonna actually give it a go. Maybe I'll finish it by next week or the week after. And I will tell you if I think it's fire or poo.
Yeah, just tell me the first. Please don't be honest with me. I can't change it now. I don't want your honesty whatsoever. Tell me it's good. Where bookstores are sold. It's about my dad's time, civil rights movement. Where books are sold.
There we go. Store. Good job.
I'm still it's horrible at selling this thing. So yes.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
All right, man. Yeah. Peace.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I'm old and not cool, and my good friend Sheila Matthews, she knows that. She's been trying to keep me cool for a while, failing at every turn, but I'm bringing her on. I mean, you're not failing, I'm failing. But anyway, here's another chance. Make me cool. Sheila Matthews, I didn't even introduce you. She's a host, a culture host and producer at Anscape, and Y'all still pumping out them logged ins?
We are. We just had Jacquees on, so that was a really fun episode.
I don't know who that is.
He was at the he sang the anthem for the Lakers game and said like and went viral.
Yeah. Yep, I don't know nothing about that. Anyway, teach me something, make me cool, so I can go say this to my kids and they'll think I know something about something.
All right, so we're gonna teach you, still in the music realm of things today. Okay. Do you know who DDG is?
Nope.
Okay. You know who?
You said DDG.
Like Dominique, go.
That'd be awesome. I would go there. I don't know what it is, but I like it. What does DDG stand for? It's a person, I'm assuming.
That's a great question.
You don't know?
You know, rappers now have acronyms, and we quite know what they stand for. But I mean, his music is pretty cool. But like lately, he's been in the news because he's Halle Bailey's boyfriend. So he went on a podcast, and Dominique, you know how I feel about podcasts.
Yeah, present company excluded. You just hate like all these men and their ridiculous podcasts.
With their Amazon podcast kits. Like, we got to stop it because then things like this happen. So he went on there to defend his girlfriend, Halle Bailey, around the controversy with The Little Mermaid and, of course, her being a Black woman and, like, all the negative comments that have come from that. In the midst of him trying to defend her, he jokingly, not so jokingly, that's up in the air of what it was supposed to be, but he said that he did not know that the country was still this racist and that he was under the impression that MLK canceled racism.
He was joking, right? I haven't heard this clip. I'm going to have to find the clip. But he had to be joking. Where was he for the last, I don't know, 5 years? I mean, it's like...
That's what we're trying to figure out. And I get where he was going. It could have been a joke. But, you know, satire on a mic doesn't come off that great sometimes. But, I mean, his response was he dropped his valedictorian clip saying he really is smart.
Oh, he was valedictorian?
He was, actually, of his high school class.
Well, there's a difference between being like smart and informed. Yeah. You know, like I feel like we have that problem. A lot of very smart people are ill-informed, and they are the most dangerous people out there because they are smart enough to whip up some foolishness around a lie and have people follow them. So I can't fall into the DDG trap because I don't even know who the hell he is. But I'm going to listen to a song now. Hopefully it's not about racial progress in America.
I mean, I'll send you some songs. Like, his stuff is pretty good. But to your point, like, a lot of rappers, we have seen that from them where they're a little bit out of touch with some things that are happening.
I mean, Lil Wayne comes to mind. I remember when he had that Emmett Till line. Lil Wayne is, like, very smart and talented when it comes to rapping, but also some questionable things. But he's a big Missy Elliott fan. That's cool and feels progressive in some ways. I don't know. I'm trying to grasp at claws to defend or grasp at straws to defend some of my favorite rappers.
I mean, then ASAP Rocky comes to mind, right? When he was like that, he doesn't necessarily relate with racial injustices and the feelings that people have. So
and DaBaby, I feel like is DaBaby uncanceled now? Because I know he got an album out.
Uncanceled. He will never be uncanceled. He just dropped Meg's name in a song for Market. You know, I feel strongly about that little man too. I don't.
He called him
that little man. No.
All right. Well, is DaBaby the next topic, or you got something else for me?
Keep it on the realm of ASAP Rocky. Oh. We got to go to his queen, Rihanna. Rihanna, excuse me, because she corrects you when you say that. It's Rihanna. And she's performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. It's now the National Fenty League. They even changed their name on Instagram yesterday, and I love it.
Doing it solo, or is it going to be like a bunch of people like last year?
I mean, it seems solo for now. The original story was they tapped Taylor Swift, and she wants to re-record her catalog. So until that's done, she passed up. I don't quite know if you tap Taylor than Rihanna. In my head, Rihanna was the first choice. So that's the story I'm going to run with.
Taylor got some bangers, though, but Rihanna definitely is going to be more fun. I mean, Shake It Off, Knox. I don't care what nobody say. I know.
I love T-Swift. Okay. All her concerts. The girl's a performer. But I think Rihanna also saw Beyonce's Outside this summer with her Renaissance tour, and she's like, it's time. I got to drop something. I got to be relevant.
I think my daughter Lizzo's in town. I think my daughter's going to go to that. My oldest.
Are you going to go?
Am I going to go? No, I'm not going to go. She might go with some friends or somebody because... I mean, I have a problem with Lizzo. Lizzo got some hits, too. But you think that my 11-year-old daughter wants my big goofy following her around? No, I drop her off with somebody and pick her up or something like that, maybe.
Well, are you excited for Rihanna for the halftime show?
Nope.
Who would you have then? You said that like with such conviction, like you have someone else in mind.
I don't. I mean, halftime shows be like whack, honestly.
you played. I don't know, a field goal from an interception. So yes, for me, that's the show. Is the halftime.
I mean, I think Rihanna can do it. Like Beyonce killed it 1 year. I don't know. I just have low expectations for halftime shows. Last year's was fun, I guess. With 50 Cent hanging upside down, it gave me something to laugh at. Eminem was angry. My son loved that halftime show, and he plays it all the time, like the YouTube video of last year's halftime show, all the time. And I'm tired of watching it or walking past the TV with it on. I've had enough.
I think like every generation has their thing. Like my thing that I replay is Whitney Houston's Anthem.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Oh, Whitney. So tragic. All right. So is there anything you want to plug this week? Tell the people to go check out that you are writing or doing or hosting.
For sure. So you can always check out Logged In on Anscape's YouTube. New episodes dropping every Friday. And I also have a piece coming out called Next to Now, the New First Ladies of Hip Hop. We're going to be exploring the Mona Leos, the Des Dior's, the Rico Nasties, all the new women who are taking over the rap game.
I understand none of them names. I don't know none of these songs. I don't get it. Who, like, okay, just before I let you go, quickly, can you give me, like, analog for these women? Like, what kind of rappers are they? Do they all fall into, like, the Lil' Kim lineage of, like, sexy raunchy? Or is there somebody else, like, Lil' Ma, right? Lil' Ma is not, she's a woman rapper who comes with a whole different flavor than Nicki Minaj, let's say.
For sure. So it's like a pretty comprehensive but not extensive list. So we have about 10 people, but they all kind of fall into different categories. Okay. Rico, of course, is Sugar Trap, which is like this very high energy type of rap now. Des Dior is like luxury rap. Mm. You might know her because she's also with Future or was with Future. So that's the type of vibe you'll get from her. Everyone. Oh, gosh. That Future Hendrix, yeah. I mean, it's all different types of women who rap and like all their different types of genres. So it's a really fun piece. We get to really dive into how rap has evolved for women.
All right, I'm going to check it out. I appreciate it.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.